morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse on WNJC 1360 AM. I'm your host, Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny and owner of My Best Friend Dog Training.
Karen and I are here together today, and we'll be co-hosting our show from now on. We're changing our format just a little bit, and we're planning to talk a lot more about training methods and problem solving with our favorite companion pet, the dog. Karen and I are going to tell you about ourselves today, so you'll have a general idea of how we got started as dog trainers and why we both choose to use positive motivational training rather than the more traditional methods of using corrections when we work with our client dogs. Before we get started, please let me tell you what services I offer here in the South Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and certified behavior consultant. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Hi, Karen. I'm so happy you'll be co-hosting Thursday in the Doghouse every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30. Welcome. I think we're going to have a lot of fun together, as well as helping to educate our listeners about why dogs do the things they do. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. So let's get started by letting everyone know, first of all, the location of My Best Friend Dog Training and the Dog Super Nanny.
Well, we're located in Keyport, New Jersey, which is about 35 to 40 minutes south of New York City. So we're located in central New Jersey. And what we are is a professional dog training service, and we do in-home consultations and training. We specialize mostly with fearful and aggressive dogs, although we do offer basic obedience. And the Dog Super Nanny is a special service of My Best Friend Dog Training. And we're the trainer that, you know, when you have a trainer at your house and they say, oh, I wish you could move in, or can't you stay the whole day with us? Well, the answer to that is yes, we can. So it's a special service where, you know, we work with dogs with chronic behaviors and families that are struggling to work with those dogs because they don't want to euthanize them or put them in a shelter. So we stay with the family for extended periods of time to help them cope and give them the skills that they need to help the dog be enriched in its environment and become part of its family.
Where did you come up with the idea for the Dog Super Nanny? I think that's incredibly clever.
Well, you know, for years I've been watching The Nanny, the Super Nanny on TV.
Right.
And, you know, what's great about that is she'll come and spend the whole day with the family and help these poor, struggling parents with these screaming, ill-behaved children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's so many people that have dogs like that. So I thought, you know, what a great idea. You know, not only could I stay the whole day, but I could spend the night.
Right.
Or I could go with you on vacation. If you're having a special event at your house, like a wedding or a large barbecue, and, you know, your dog's not suited for a kennel environment or a daycare environment, you know, we'll come for the day, we'll take care of the dogs, we'll feed the dogs, we'll play with them, we'll walk them around on leashes so they could greet people politely, and we also train them during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that dogs could get accustomed to people coming in and out, the sounds of the doorbell. So there's a lot more going on. It's not just, you know, we're not just dog babysitters.
Right.
You know, we're trainers, and, you know, during these events, and overnight stays and day stays, we're training the dog how to cope in its environment. And it's so helpful for the owner because they could take a back seat and actually observe what's going on without experiencing all that stress. It gives them a chance to relax and lay back and get a breather. And a lot of these owners need that. They need a little vacation from their dog, but they don't want to leave their dog. And that's where we step in.
Right. So are you the dog super nanny, or do you have others that work with you in order to go to, let's say, several locations? Could you come down to South Jersey if somebody here said that they wanted you to spend a couple of days working with their dog while they go away on vacation?
Absolutely.
Really?
I have myself, and I have a couple of other trainers that work with me that have experience in these kinds of behaviors. So, you know, if they want me, sure, I'll go, as long as I'm not booked.
Right.
But, yes, we do have people that work for us, and they can fulfill those needs. So we travel anywhere. I mean, if somebody wants me in Florida, I mean, sure, I'd be happy to go. You know, they'd have to, you know, cover my airfare.
Right.
But we pretty much travel anywhere.
Sure. I've talked to trainers who travel to other locations, and people are so willing to have a professional like yourself who has so much great skills. They do pay the airfare, and they do have people come and visit with them in different locations. So, you know, there's a lot of major problems out there. There's a lot of major problems out there, and, you know, if we can get people like yourself to make themselves available to them, that's a super, super wonderful idea.
It's really cool. It's a really cool concept, and it's really starting to catch on.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the owner benefits so greatly, you know, as a result of that.
You said something that made me smile, because I have many, many clients who ask me, can you live here, or can you spend the next couple of months here to get my dog over its issues? And, of course, that's a compliment, and I always feel very complimented when people ask me that, because it means that I am helping, and they're not ready to let go yet. You know, I mean, we're
right.
Like kind of like an umbilical cord between the dog and the owner to us. And and I think that that's just proof that we are accomplishing what we've both set out to do, and that's to help dogs in any of the issues that they may have.
Well, I could always use more super nannies, so.
There you go. And especially if you're single and you don't mind traveling and you are a dog trainer and a positive dog trainer, contact Karen at mybestfrienddogtraining.com or thedogsupernanny.com and talk to Karen about that. But we have to have, of course, people who know what they're doing, not just somebody who says, oh, I want to be a dog trainer, and then they go out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we want. How did you get started to become a dog trainer? Were you influenced by a person? Were you influenced by a problem dog? Tell us what your history is.
Well, you know, years ago I got a German Shepherd, and, you know, of course, you know, I was, like many people who walk into a pet store, chagrin.
Mm-hmm. No.
Walk into a pet store.
What we didn't
and
know.
Fell in love with this little German Shepherd. He was so cute. And, you know, I brought him home, and it was a nightmare. I mean, he had such a mouthing issue that, you know, he was actually causing scrapes and bruises on my stepson's ankles, who was only, I think he was maybe about 7 at the time, and this poor child had to sit on top of the couch, you know, when my dog was there, and I'm thinking, you know what? God, one day I'm going to be a headline.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in the newspaper, you know, German Shepherd mauls child.
Oh, God.
And I said, I got to do something about this. I mean, at this time I wasn't a dog trainer, I was a dog owner.
Right.
And I contacted a trainer. He was a traditional trainer. While it helped my dog's behavior, I wasn't crazy about punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And my dog started to develop other issues after training, like aggression towards other dogs and things like this. And I decided, you know what, I need to solve these problems myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ironically enough, I mentored under that trainer, but I started to integrate my own style of positive training. I felt, you know, we can definitely, you know, achieve behaviors without having to use punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked beautifully. And, you know, it took a while to work with my dog. But I mean, I could go on walks now and not have him barking and lunging and going crazy on the leash.
Mm-hmm.
He's wonderful with children. He's wonderful with elderly people. And he's great with everything. And, you know, it just inspired me so much. And I felt, you know, I know that terror. I know that fear, the adrenaline, the scary feelings somebody has when they have a dog that they can't control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so much in life is uncontrollable. When you have an animal that has, you know, weapons in its mouth, it's really terrifying.
Sure.
And I felt that I could help a lot of people. And I started to train and study, and today here I am. And that's basically what I specialize in.
How did you study, Karen? Did you attend seminars? Did you go to any classes? What did you do?
Yes, I attended several seminars on behavior and training. I studied for years. One of my favorite hobbies is studying the brain.
Wow.
Neurology.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds crazy, but the brain fascinates me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I needed to really know what happens to a brain when it's under stress,
mm-hmm.
or when it's overexcited, or when it's repeatedly exposed to, you know, scary stimuli or things that cause it to get hypervigilant. And, you know, as a result, I have a very well-rounded education, not only in the neurology of fear and aggression, but also the physiological effects of it, as well as behavioral and environmental.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one big circle.
Right.
You know, it just keeps going round and round unless you could get in there and you could put a stop to it somehow.
Mm-hmm. I don't think people.
That's pretty much my background there.
I don't think people realize that dogs' brains are very, very similar to ours. They're just smaller.
Ours, and the only thing they lack is the organ that controls speech.
Mm.
I mean, all mammalian brains are very similar in structure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we're dealing with an animal that has these issues, you know, it isn't unusual to approach it like a human. It's like, you know, you have to approach behavior in a little bit of a different way because you can't communicate verbally.
Mm-hmm.
But there certainly are ways to reach the animal's mind,
mm-hmm.
and help it overcome and adjust and learn new skills.
How old was your dog when you started to see huge results and you didn't feel that you were worried too much anymore?
I would say probably about 5 months of age, 6 months of age is when I started training him at 12 weeks.
Right.
But about 6 months of age, I really started to see a dramatic improvement.
Yeah. So you worked with him for several months.
Oh, yeah. Every day, hours and hours.
Your dog was very young at the time. I think that really worked in his and your favor.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I want to let people know, when I say hours and hours of training, I'm not talking about, you know, standing in a room and teaching sit, but teaching the dog how to live in my environment. You know, when I open the refrigerator door, you know, I don't let my dog just dart in there. You know, I'll hold my hand on the handle and wait for him to sit.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's things like that. And as a result, you know, he's a very well-behaved, mannered dog. I could leave a whole turkey dinner on the table and he won't touch it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's super.
Yeah, he's exceptional.
That's very, very good. But how about if you left the kitchen?
Oh, I left the kitchen, he'd do the same thing.
Yeah? That's excellent.
He would just sit and stare at it and wait because he knows that's what pays off.
Wow. And drool all over your floor.
Yeah, my hound's another story. I can't leave my kitchen with the hound.
Oh, right. That's you do.
But
you,
she's a good girl, too, and she's learned, you know, when I'm preparing food and when we're cooking dinner, she goes into the living room and lays down and waits for the dinner to end.
That's a foxhound, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's a rescue?
She is a rescue.
Right, good.
I rescued her when she was 5 months of age.
I think that from many, many trainers that I've spoken with, that many of us, myself included, have been influenced by one specific dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, I also had a very special dog with very special needs that my husband and I adopted. And his name was Jack, and he was a border collie. And I adopted him from relatives who were having a lot of issues with him. They adopted him at 3 months from a shelter in Pennsylvania. And they didn't know how to live with a border collie. And I was so angry with the person at the shelter because they went into the shelter looking for a cat. And they come out with a border collie.
Wow.
Right. Really. But they were told, you know, oh, come look in the back room. We have the most beautiful border collie puppy back there. And, my relatives had somebody in their neighborhood who had a border collie, and that dog was extremely well behaved. And they figured that they were going to bring home a clone of that dog that they knew who was so well behaved, and they were wrong. My relatives also had two children who never had a dog before and really didn't know how to behave toward the dog. So they kept him until he was 14 months old, and they called us one day and they said, if you don't take Jack down on your farm, which we have a horse farm, and border collies are farm dogs, we're going to have to take him back to the shelter. So that broke my heart, and truthfully, I never really met Jack. I think I saw him once, for a short period of time, and that was it. So,
what was his issues?
What?
What were the issues that they were having?
Oh my God! Do you have a long piece of paper?
Yeah.
First of all,
I got all the time in the world.
Yeah. He was fear aggressive toward humans. He didn't trust anybody. And I don't know that I can blame his former owners entirely for his issues.
Right.
I think some of this was genetic. Why would he wind up in a shelter at 3 months old anyway?
Right.
You know, but he wasn't a stray either. He was an owner surrender. So he was fear aggressive toward humans. He was a fierce food and object guarder. Anything that was edible that was close to him, he would bite you if you went too close to him or if you tried to reach for him. He had handling issues like crazy. He hated being brushed. He hated being groomed. For the first month or even a little longer, I got bitten on my hands just about every day.
Wow.
And I was like you, Karen. I was an average dog owner who'd had dogs before, I wasn't a trainer. I didn't know anything that nearly resembled the psychological aspects of how dogs learn at the time. And so I was always taught to pop and jerk, and I had a shepherd. My first dog was a shepherd, and I was taught when your dog does something bad, grab him by the scruff of his face and give him a mean talk.
Right.
So that's what I tried to do with Jack, and it's very, very lucky that I never got bitten in the face.
Yeah.
For the first 6 months, it was like touch and go because my husband, and he wound up biting somebody. He bit his own babysitter, his pet sitter.
Wow.
And she forgave him, and she took the blame, which I don't think that she was entirely blamable.
Right.
But she was willing to forget it, and she even pet sat for him a week later.
Wow.
So fortunately, you know, that was nothing that I got sued over, which people can get sued if their dogs bite people.
Oh, absolutely.
So I got help. I went to a local obedience trainer, and we put Jack into a couple of group classes, and I'm sure that he was the only dog ever to have attended her agility class with a muzzle on.
Wow.
And I had explained why he was wearing a muzzle to the other pet parents in these classes, but they understood, and he did well. And then I started to re-socialize him, and I have to tell you, it took about 3 years before I could say Jack hasn't bitten anyone for the last maybe 7 or 8 months.
Wow.
And so then I started to be able to trust him, and he wasn't wearing the muzzle anymore. I knew I had to keep this very active dog busy, both physically and mentally. And I took him for sheep herding lessons. We did the agility classes. He went for walks just about every day. And I took him to parks. There's a story actually on my website, jerseydogtrainer.com. If anybody has a dog that sounds like Jack, they can read his story and how we went to these parks and I taught him that when people approach, good things happen. I learned how to use clicker training. My trainer at the time taught me and how to do that, yet she's not a clicker trainer, normally. And, the dog just thrived after that.
Yeah.
But you know, when you live with a dog that's aggressive, you always, always have to be on your guard.
I know.
You know, you have to watch the dog's body language. You have to, you know, I remember we had a young boy that lived up the street from us, and that child's goal was to pet Jack. Why? I have no idea. He was about, I think he was about 11 or 12 years old during this period. And I kept telling him, no, Jack's not friendly. And then one day, he asked me again, and I watched Jack's body language, and the child petted the dog. And then, after about maybe 3 seconds, my dog looked up at me and he told me with his eyes, okay, I've had enough. And we walked away.
So, you know, I think that's one of the biggest problems that I would say that's the most destructive force affecting dogs and their companions today.
Yeah.
Is this communication gap.
Right.
I mean, we're talkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you ask people, you know, how do dogs communicate? They'll say barking and growling. And yeah, that's maybe about 10% of it.
Mm-hmm.
90% of a dog's communication is done silently.
Karen, let's get back to this in a minute, darling, because I want to make sure that people hear your commercial. So
okay.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. Karen Fazio and I are co-hosts of Thursday in the Doghouse, and we talk primarily about dogs. I also want to let our listeners know that maybe next week we're going to start inviting phone calls each week now, and people can call into the station at 856-227-1360 if they want to ask Karen or me any questions about their dog's behaviors or any problems that they're having, or if they just have a question about dogs in general. We want to invite everyone also, if you're too shy to call or if you're at work or you're driving, you can also send Karen or me emails about your dogs if you want us to answer your questions on our shows. You can send emails directly through our websites by going to jerseydogtrainer.com. or mybestfrienddogtraining.com. When we receive your emails, we'll answer your questions on the air.
Just one correction. It's mybestfrienddogschool.com.
Oh, Karen, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My best friend.
There's another trainer with that name. So I think they're out in Wisconsin. So if you live in Wisconsin, you could give them a call. I'm sure there'd be more than the positive dog trainers too.
All right.
I'm sure they'd be more than happy to help you. But the website is mybestfrienddogschool.com.
All right. Thank you, Karen. I'm sorry about that. Hey, listen, you know, if that's the only thing we do wrong on our first show together, I'm happy.
I think it's great. I am very much looking forward to helping people.
Yeah,
and,
me
you know,
too.
This is your opportunity as a listener to have free, unfettered access to two professional dog trainers who use positive reinforcement. We don't use leash jerks or any of that kind of stuff. And we could pretty much, you know, give you lots of information on some of the experiences you may be having with your dog, mm-hmm. and maybe help you solve some problems.
Right.
So we'll be interviewing veterinarians. We're going to be interviewing behaviorists, nutrition people, all kinds of very interesting people with lots of information that our listeners will definitely benefit from.
Taryn, we also want to make mention of the fact that we're both, I've always had this, you know, I've had this show now for a year and a half, and people can go to jerseydogtrainer.com to hear all the podcasts of my previous programs, but now you're going to put the podcasts on your website, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so you have two opportunities to check out all of our shows, past and future, and any help that we can give you, we're here to do that. We only have about 3 minutes, but I wanted to find out from you, I suppose the main call that you get from people is about fearful behavior, Karen? Do you, that's what your specialty is?
Aggression and fear, most dogs that are aggressive are fearful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most aggression has its foundations based in fear. So yes, that's the majority of my calls and my clientele.
Okay.
If I get, you know, puppy calls, I mean, I'd be more than happy to train a puppy, but when somebody calls me and says I have a 10 or 12 week old puppy, I usually send them out to a trainer that has group classes because
mm-hmm.
socialization is so important.
Yes it is. Yes it is. Mhm.
But I may be offering early socialization classes soon, but I'll keep you posted on that.
Okay, good. We want to know everything about what you're doing and what services you're going to be offering. I get a lot of calls also for shy and fearful dogs, and but I'll tell you the truth, I would say if I had to do a survey of the calls that I get, many people, I think a majority of people, call me complaining a lot about their dog not paying attention and not coming when called. I just
mm-hmm.
think that that is so common, and people make comments that my dog comes when he wants to, or he pays attention when he wants to. And I have to just smile a little bit because I don't know how you feel about this, but I think that people have to understand that dogs need to be motivated if we want them to do anything.
Absolutely.
They're dogs, and they're out in the world doing doggy things. And uh-huh. if we call their name and we're frowning and we're using angry voices and I say my dog's name, Hoffman, and my dog looks at me and turns around and walks in the other direction.
Yeah, who wants to deal with that?
Who wants to respond to the word Hoffman? Who wants to respond to the word Jack or any other dog name if it sounds like, oh, my God, I am really in deep doo-doo?
Yeah.
So we have to motivate the dog, and a lot of times I'll prove that, especially when I have guys that I'm working with. I hear them calling their dogs, and men have deeper voices. And they tend to scowl more because they think they have to be the boss. And I tell them, listen, you don't have to sound like a girl, but just raise your voice one octave higher.
Right.
And they're amazed at the results that they see. The dog
yeah.
will turn in their direction.
The problem out there where people feel like they have to be, you know, the lord over their dog.
Right.
You know, and you don't have to be. I mean, it should be a mutual relationship. It's not one that's based on, you know, who's in charge.
Right,
I mean,
exactly. Exactly.
That's crazy thinking.
You know, and I think maybe in future shows, maybe even next week, you and I can discuss the word leadership and what it really means, because
right.
I think that many people have a negative viewpoint of that word. But
oh yeah,
we have less than a minute to go, and unfortunately our time is up, Karen. I want to thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to next week, darling, and we'll
I
talk to you soon.
I am looking forward to it, too.
All right. Thank you very, very much, listeners, for tuning in to Thursday in the Doghouse. I hope that you'll listen in each week And we hope that we'll be getting emails and calls with your problems, if you have any. And we'll answer your questions on our future shows. So have a great week, everybody. Keep your dogs in the air conditioning today, and I'll talk to you next week, and so will Karen.